here. Let him stay locked up for another half an hour. The police will be here by then, and there are two dead bodies in the study.
Shh.
Take your hands off me! I'm a senator's wife. This is FilmSack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to FilmSack. This is FilmSack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. Depths. The Johnny Depths of film entertainment.
The depths.
I meant depths.
We're mining Johnny.
Episode 138. I'm Scott Johnson, and joining me tonight, Brian Boob Joke Dunaway.
Perfect. It was Christopher Lloyd in the study with a Doc Brown impression. Great Scott, 1.21 gigawatt of boobies. And to make a long story short, too late. No one hurts me.
Oh, sorry. You failed me. Oh, sorry.
Wasn't participating.
Collective failure on that one. Also with us, Randy Dog Poo Joke Jordan.
Aloha, Scott. Brian. Mm. As you know, the four of us used to do quite a bit of sexting, and one of you blackmailed me with pictures that I sent you in good faith, so I tried to kill myself. But with no mansion full of party guests to assist me, I couldn't do so. I know, because I'm still here. But at the end of this episode of FilmSack, one of you will kill me. But you better think twice, because I've given Scott Fletcher all the evidence he'll need to identify the killer and send him to jail. Unless Scott Fletcher is my eventual killer, in which case I apologize to all of you in advance, and wish you'd stop sharing images of my junk online, please.
Wow. It's as if the ghost of Tim Curry himself is here. Oh, wait, he's not dead.
He's not dead.
No, he lives.
No, wait.
He lives on. Also with us, Brian sniffing a dead man, Ibbot.
You know, and what's great is I get to kind of piggyback off of Randy's here. I'd like to add Tim Curry explains it sequences to some other movies. Here they are. Donnie Darko, Memento, Mulholland Drive, the last two movies of The Matrix, Inception, The Tree of Life, and Clue.
Dude, well can you said. Imagine? Like, you said that, but like, what if The Usual Suspects ended with Tim Curry coming in there instead of the way it actually ends?
How? Remind me who narrated. Did Verbal Kent narrate the end?
Yeah. Verbal Kent.
Okay.
Kevin Spacey.
Oh, that's right. Because
the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was making the world think he didn't exist.
Because Chaz Palminteri's over there figuring it out, dropping coffee cups and staring at the wall. Okay.
But by that point, Verbal Kent's out on the street getting in a car.
Yeah, losing the limp and getting in a car.
Right. Slowly losing the limp.
Sorry. This is one of my favorite movies of all time, and we're terribly spoiling it here. But
imagine if it had been Tim Curry's character, the butler, explaining it all. Right. Like, that just would have been so freaking funny.
Well, you said before the show, and we'll explain why here in a minute, but Randy mentioned, are you guys a little tired? We don't mean tired of the movie. We don't mean bored with the movie. We mean, like, physically exhausted from Tim Curry's rants. And I kind of am. I'm kind of beat. Yeah. A little thrashed.
It moved fast.
Yeah, it did. And what are we talking about? Well, we're talking about Clue. And Scott Fletcher has the details.
Clue. Director Jonathan Lynn's board game-inspired campfest finds six colorful dinner guests gathered at the mansion of their host, Mr. Body, who turns up dead after his secret is exposed. He was blackmailing all of them. With the killer among them, the guests and Body's chatty butler, played by Tim Curry, must suss out the culprit before the body count rises. Leslie Ann Warren also stars in this hilarious whodunit, filmed with three different endings.
Which I didn't expect, so we'll talk about the ending thing here soon, because the only real memory I have of the movie at all, because I've seen it, but I just don't remember much about it. I knew
it was
Martin Mull was in
gimmick.
It. Oh, no, totally, right, but right. In the theater you didn't get, the way the theater worked, and I wasn't all in the know and there was no internet then, but there was, I guess they would show it randomly with different endings around the country.
Sort of.
Right.
Sort of. I mean, a theater would get one of the three prints, the three innings, and they would show that one. They didn't have like a, you know, spin the wheel kind of thing.
Oh, right. That's what I mean.
They got clue A, clue B, or clue C. And after it was out for a couple weeks, then the theaters start actually putting in the not trading, but they actually start putting in the movie listings in the newspaper which ending they had. So clue at 7:30 with ending B, or clue, you know, with ending C.
Right.
And I'm sure a lot of people would like go see another movie and then sneak in to see the ending of Clue instead of like going and watching the whole thing.
I would ask which my question would be, which one has Lenny from Laverne and Shirley talking about sleeping with his wife? Which one's that one?
That was ending C.
Okay, ending C. So the Netflix version of this showed all three, which, listeners, if this is where you watched it and you watched along with us, you'll know this. But they showed all three in a row, and I don't remember for sure, but I'm pretty sure the one I saw was the middle one, the second one. The DVD version lets you do it randomly if you want, or
I remember seeing the DVD, like the DVD that because I've actually seen this more recently than in the theaters, and the DVD that we rented or even probably video cassette had all three ends on it.
Oh, it had all three in the
Same way with the title card saying here's how it could have happened.
Right. This is how I remember it. I remember it like the three endings. I don't think I saw this at the theater. And so I just remember the videotape later on.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, it was there are a lot of people who think this is one of the best comedies ever. I'll talk to people and they'll say, when are you guys doing Clue? Oh, we're doing Clue. It's coming up. It's happening. Don't worry. We're getting to it. Oh, it's the best movie. It's my favorite thing I ever grew up with. Blah, blah, blah.
Right. Wow, horror comedy though is my thing, and so this was in my wheelhouse
a little bit. But don't you think Murder by Death beats Clue?
Oh,
see,
a million miles.
I agree.
Yes.
Oh, you think so?
Well, oh, yeah.
Rating only Truman 7.
Capote looking dude.
7.2 for Clue. 7.4 on Internet Movie Database for Murder by Death. It looks like it's pretty close. Listen, but Columbo.
That's assuming that IMDb knows what the hell it's talking about.
Where's Death Trap in that?
Oh, Death Traps, isn't that where Alfred kisses Superman?
Yes.
Wow.
For just a second. same DC universe, but not like, you know, it's like fan fiction or something.
I just want to say I had never seen Clue before, and this was a really, really fun film to watch.
Right. Yeah.
And I've never seen Murder by Death, so as far as I'm concerned, Clue's better.
Oh, you need to see Murder by Death. And they're almost, truthfully, I talk about how much it's better. They're kind of the same.
Well, this based on is Clue is a spoof, basically, of Murder by Death.
No, it's the other way around, isn't it?
No, 76 is Murder by Death. Clue was 85.
Oh.
Or the year after.
But I thought
if it was a spoof. I mean, Murder by Death is a spoof on the whodunit murder mystery, the butler did it kind of thing.
True.
We can say it this way. So Agatha Christie inspired Murder by Death. I believe that's true. There's even an Agatha Christie like lady in that movie.
Yes, right.
Then comes a board game called Clue, which is riffing on that same stuff, and then this thing comes along and is basically they're taking it further.
Eileen Brennan was in both.
Oh, that's right.
No, it really was Truman Capote in that. Holy cow.
You just a Truman Capote lookalike, dude.
Yeah, I thought there's, you know, Truman Capote's not going to appear in a film. He's a writer, right? Yeah.
He did a few movies, I think.
I guess he did, yeah.
There's that one anyway. But
this picture is all Danny DeVito.
Has it got Peter Falk in it? And
crap load of movies. Holy cow.
I like Murder.
No, he hasn't. He's only been in five movies.
Murder by Death was one of those VHS tapes that by the time we were done with it as kids, it was a heap of mess. Like it just wouldn't run anymore.
Stretched out.
Yeah.
Like that 30-second segment of Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Where you can't even tell there's boobs in it anymore at that point. That's right. We did that with a few movies or tapes. I remember I'm sorry to go off track, just barely. And I may have mentioned this before, but I had a friend whose dad was the prison warden. All right. And this is back before the VHS was still kind of a thing that was just sort of early 80s happening. And he got a copy of 1983's Return of the Jedi. You might be familiar with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That came out. And when you bought those back then, VHS tapes were like 50, 60 bucks. Like, that's what you paid for a movie. It was ridiculous. Yeah, it was real bad. So
you didn't want to lose those.
Yeah, no, you didn't.
And just in case where you're talking to people who are thinking about this, like $50, $60, $70 VHS, 30 years ago, That was a ridiculous amount of money.
Oh, it was crazy. It felt like a lot more than
like,
it does now.
Like, just to put inflation in, it's like Scott saying that people were willing to pay $250 for a movie.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. And so, so at the time, I remember, this is where the prison warden comes in. My friend, I don't know if this puts me in any kind of trouble, by statute of limitations are up, I don't know, but his dad, because of by virtue of his job as prison warden, could get his hands on all kinds of contraband. And this kid showed up at my house one day with the first pirated anything I'd ever seen before, a pirated copy of Return of the Jedi on VHS that he'd gotten through his dad somehow, through some prisoner's confiscated something or other. And I just remember feeling like we were the sauce of the cheese, man. We were just all my friends wanted to come over and watch this thing. Everybody's, and it was good quality. It wasn't some, it wasn't bootleg. It was like actual, rip. What would you call it then? It was a transfer or a copy.
There you go.
So it maybe wasn't, first run quality because you'd lose it every time you'd make them. And we made a bunch of them too. And everybody got a copy and they started looking like shit by the time we were done.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know why I brought that up, but. You guys reminded me of it. But this is that era. It's 85. This came out, which is interesting because I thought, props to Doc Brown there for looking young in this and old in the same year in another movie.
Right. Back to the Future.
Into the Back to the Future. Yeah. It's crazy to me that that's I half expect when I went, oh yeah, he's in this. I expected him to look all old, wizened and gray like he did the other thing, but he didn't. He looked
Go ahead.
Happy birthday. I'll let you go.
Yeah, happy birthday.
We are indeed recording this episode on my birthday. Mm. I actually was surprised to realize that I don't like Christopher Lloyd. I felt like he has no range, and I was just seeing the same character that he only ever plays.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you'd love that character, though, right? Like, Michael Cera does this with his career. Like, he's the same kid and everything. Christopher Lloyd's the same guy and everything. Put Klingon makeup on his head, doesn't matter, same guy.
I know exactly what you mean. Because in this, he could have gone – everybody else seemed to go so far with their parts. Like, especially Tim Curry. And Madeline Kahn, actually even Michael McKean. But then you look at Christopher Lloyd, who is a great character actor. I think he's a really good character actor.
Oh, man, he was great in Taxi.
Taxi, great example. And he's playing a lech, but he's playing like the mildest lech ever. He grabs a butt. Oh, okay. And then he
nestles his face in her boobs like he was pushing on them.
Yeah, we know the dinner table. That was hilarious. Yeah, come on.
That made me
right.
Laugh.
And the Miss Scarlet talks about what her profession is, and can I have a number? It's like Robin Williams.
Emmett does the best freaking Doc Brown. Just give us a little bit, just throw something out there.
Great Scott, Marty.
See, that's pretty good. Sorry, Randy, go ahead.
I got nothing. I know that this movie proved to me that as you go back in time, Michael McKean and Martin Mull converge.
Yeah, a little bit.
True story.
There were several moments when I had forgotten which was which.
I didn't know one interesting thing about this. It seems like a weird thing for a project for him to take on, but it was written by John Landis, famed director John Landis, American Werewolf in London. What else? The Twilight Zone movie where a dude died on set, famously. He directed the Michael Jackson Thriller video. Like, this was his, he had some stuff. He'd done some things. And he wrote this story. He didn't direct. Jonathan Lynn did, who also co-wrote it with him. But the name Jonathan Lynn was bugging. Like, I'm like, I know this name. Why do I know this name? And thankfully, the internet lets you click a name, and then it takes you to the other things he's done.
That internet.
It's amazing. And I noticed that he did that Nun movie with the dude that played Robbie Coltrane, who plays Hagrid. And also Eric Idle running around in like nuns and nun outfits.
I remember that.
Nuns on the Run.
Nuns on the Run. I have this secret love for Nuns on the Run, dude. It's a little embarrassing. I think that movie's great.
This guy's also responsible for the Ferris Bueller TV show.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
Oh, but My Cousin Vinny. There you go. That's a high point.
But there's a British quality to this movie. British filmmaker quality to this movie. And he is a British filmmaker. Yeah. And he's got a Benny Hill-esque kind of vibe to this, even though most everyone's, dumb Americans except for Tim Curry.
I was going to say, do you think it's the Tim Curry?
I don't think it's that. I think it's a tone and it's a beat.
I think it's the Curry.
And a rhythm. You think it's the Curry?
I think it's the curry.
I don't know. The curry never feels very British to me. The curry always, I mean, I got all involved in the 80s with that whole midnight showing, throw bread at everybody and hot dogs and spray bottles thing for, what's the movie?
Rocky Horror.
Rocky Horror Picture Show. Yeah. We used to do that on the weekends. And that's who Tim Curry always was to me. So even when I go see like the Muppet Pirate movie and he's in it,
like, better Home Alone, Lost in New York.
Right.
Oh, when's that guy going to put on the fishnets and,
and
walk around a long hair wig
and sing. But and so even in this movie, I'm seeing him talking and he's talking to the lady who owns the brothel or the girl service.
Mm-hmm. Sure, Miss Scarlet.
Miss Scarlet. And Miss Scarlet looks a lot like Susan Sarandon to me.
Yes.
Yeah. So all I can think of is Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Tina actually thought for the first like 2/3 of the movie that was Susan Sarandon.
She kind of looks a lot like her.
She does. She looks a lot like her.
Yeah, Leslie Ann Warren.
Yeah, kind of sounded like her too back then. But which brings me to, well, you know what? I'll save that for later. I got something to say about the cast. You know what? Fine ensemble cast. Love me some Madeline Kahn. I think she's a hoot. Although I think she got underused here. But I like Martin Mull. I think he's fantastic on like Arrested Development, that party play. Really good on there. And he did a whole bunch of crap. I just remember everything you turn on in the 80s, I swear he was on there doing something. And they're all fine. But I'll just say it now. Is there an uglier cast of people?
Yes.
Nobody's attractive except the maid.
Film?
Well,
yeah, right. Exactly.
That's a good point.
I thought this cast
Michael
was
McKean
fine
looks
looking.
Like a male model among Christopher Guest.
Yeah.
What in the world? You're calling these people ugly?
They're kind of ugly, Randy.
They had a Playboy playmate as the maid.
I said everybody but the maid. And even in her case, I like a boob, all right? There's nothing wrong with a boob.
A lot of boobies in this movie.
But these things, where are you putting those when you're not keeping them up like that? Like, where do you you tying those behind your back? You tucking them in? Like, where are those things going?
They were tied up.
There's just no pleasing you, Johnson.
They're ginormous.
There is no way to get through to Scott Johnson.
I mean,
does the movie need for you?
She's
Scott?
Like Christian. She's like Christian Bale. I had implants right before the film, and then took them out right after for my next role.
I don't think there were any implants. I think they were corseted. They were corseted, and they were like sitting on top of the platter. They were just
They're just pushed up.
Right, and they were a character. They were a complete character in this movie.
I can't imagine seeing Dangerous Liaisons with Scott Johnson. Look at those things.
No, but there's attractive people in that movie. I'm saying in this movie, she's the only thing. She's the only thing that's attractive. Everyone, give me another name who's attractive.
Okay, this was back when...
Leslie Warren.
Yeah, Leslie Warren.
But
what? But really?
Yeah, I don't think she's that cute.
Oh,
really?
The one that played Scarlet?
Yes.
That cute? She looked kind of haggardy to me.
Here we're going to have to separate.
Yeah, this was back when
Gene
Weedlin. Tim Curry was in his prime and was just fine in a suit.
No, he's dopey looking. He's dopey looking.
No. Michael McKean was
Lenny. You can't take that face seriously.
I could.
Yeah, with his hair not greased back. I mean, I can't believe that you'd go the direction of this being an ugly cast.
A little bit. It's like they should get the freaking
Pulp Fiction had an uglier cast than this.
The Clint Howard Award
had an uglier cast.
The Clint Howard Award goes to the cast of Clue.
Actually, if you think about it, every ensemble for a Coen Brothers film, they go out of their way to cast normal sort
and
of dumpy looking people.
I think, too.
And I like those in those movies, so I don't know what this says about me. It's something about the You know what it is? I know what it is. I have a bias about movies that came out when I was a kid that was kind of aimed winkingly at my parents. The people my parents thought were the stars of the day do not hold up to who we think is attractive in our day. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that's a good thing or a bad thing. Well, sure.
Yeah. I mean, go back to Young Frankenstein. I mean, there's something about Madeline Kahn that is very attractive.
Yeah. Okay.
Poor Scott.
I think you have to go really far back for Eileen Brennan because I'm trying to think of what was the Goldie Hawn thing that she was in? She was a.
I always mix her up with the mom. I mix her up with the not the mom, the lady. Remember the movie we saw with the worm rapist, the big worm
rapist.
What was that called?
Star Crash.
No, it wasn't Star Crash.
Star Crash. The worm raping.
Was it Star Crash? No.
Star Crash. The worm rape. Was it not?
Star Crash. That's not it.
No, he was, you're right. It's not
you know what I'm talking about. But she was on that. I was mixed. That lady was on the ship that was the pilot, the cranky old thing that was also in Twin Peaks. The mother.
Oh, yeah.
I always get her confused with the one that played The one you were just talking
about. Piper Laurie, the other woman, the other.
Yes.
Laura Palmer's mom.
Galaxy of Terror.
Yes. That's it.
And what a memorable name.
Right. You know, the worm rape.
Oh, Private Benjamin, not Protocol. I was trying to remember the...
Oh, yeah. She was like the sergeant in Private Benjamin.
She was, yeah. She was...
Or was it the other lady I'm thinking of?
No, no, no. It's Eileen Brennan was in Private Benjamin.
All right. I just get those two ladies mixed up.
In MASH.
Riveting discussion.
It is, isn't it? I know.
Didn't she play in MASH?
MASH?
Yeah.
No.
Who? Which one?
As in the movie MASH is Houlihan?
Right.
No, that was...
That's the one that was in Back to School with...
Yes, Kellerman, Sally Kellerman.
Sally Kellerman. Oh, my gosh. The knowledge we are digging out of our arse. And I'm telling you, we're not looking this up either. This is weird. Here's the thing about...
That's all incorrect.
About MASH. Did you notice that she didn't have much lines, but the cook...
Oh, yeah. It was Nurse Kelly.
Nurse Kelly. She's the one that was always trying to get Hawkeye to be all sweet on her. Remember that?
That's right. Why I'm thinking MASH.
Yeah.
I knew it was a MASH connection.
Oh, there's always a MASH connection somewhere.
Actually, yeah. And I think a couple of the actors here were on MASH. Eileen Brennan, I think, was even an episode of MASH.
Probably. When we start running out of
Star Trek connections, yeah. We'll find a MASH
connection.
MASH
connection.
Find a MASH connection.
Who's the super famous director who directed the MASH film?
Robert Altman, yeah.
Robert Altman. I think we should start doing Altman connections.
Oh, that'd be great.
That'd be so easy.
Way too easy. It's
Robin like Williams was in Popeye. And Popeye had a friend named Wimpy. Right. Yeah. I want to watch that. Didn't we watch that for the show?
No, we haven't watched that for the show.
I think we had it on the list and it got bumped.
Probably. I think you're right.
I think we did. Yeah. That may have been our first Altman attempt. All right. So, speaking of which, three endings were shot. We talked about that.
Hmm? Actually, four endings.
There was a fourth.
Right.
One was lost.
Dumped. Right.
Left on the cutting room floor.
Really? It's too stupid.
Well, who died? Or who? Not who died. Who was
they
the...
They don't say. They don't say. But, you know, I thought... And what's funny is I remembered that there were three endings. If you would have pressed me before I watched, I would have said, okay... in one of them, everybody kills somebody else. In another one, there's one person who's responsible. And then in the third ending, nobody's responsible. There are just things that happen that randomly cause people to die.
The same thing too.
Wrench falls from a, you know, from a toolbox and knocks somebody in the head and kills
somebody. Maybe that'll be in the remake.
If that was the fourth ending that was left on the cutting room floor, I'm glad, because ultimately you have to keep returning to the board game when you're watching this film, when you're thinking about how this film flows. Mm-hmm. And in the board game, you are absolutely always defining who did it and how they did it. You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the whole process of that game. Yeah.
Right.
Doesn't that game seem like, if it didn't exist in the 70s or whenever it got made by Parker Brothers, doesn't that game seem like one that you'd find out is being made on Kickstarter today? It's got that vibe to it. Like, new Kickstarter board game from blah, 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 who made this other thing, and it's this weird game where there's a killer and you don't know who it is, and then you got to work on these clues. Like, I could see that.
It does seem like, I mean, you look at the other games that are around that were popular, you know, the same closets everybody else had, Monopoly and Battleship, and both of which are, well, Battleship obviously made a new movie. Ridley Scott somehow is, I don't know if he's still tied to the Monopoly movie or...
He was? Or, what?
Right. Ridley Scott
was
attached to... Attached to someone who thinks it's a dumb idea, or attached as director?
No, he's going to direct a movie based on Monopoly.
I think they got rid of that one because Battleship... did not do as well as they thought.
Telling me it was from the Battleship failure? Well, it did all right. Didn't I hear it made money?
Yeah, I don't know.
My wife likes it.
There's a Clue remake that's been playing off and on.
Ouija board game movie.
How boring would that be? That'd be like the most boring movie ever.
Hey, there's already been Ouija board films. There are these horrible, awful horror films.
I remember those, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Those happened. That's what Ryan was saying.
Introduction that tells you what's going to happen in the story at the beginning of the Ouija board movie is going to take forever because you're only going to get it letter by letter.
Who do you guys hire? Here's a casting question. So let's say Ridley Scott says, you know, with my brother jumping off the bridge and everything, I'm feeling a little frisky here. I think I'm going to go ahead and tackle this Monopoly game.
Jeez.
So who?
Robin Williams has got to be.
Hold on. Now who?
It's rare for me to pull out the too soon, but man, too soon.
Too soon. All right. And I'm sad because I love him. But so who do you cast as? And Brian Dunaway's way ahead of me here. But who do you cast as the Monopoly guy? You say Robin Williams?
Robin Williams.
All right.
I say Hannibal Lecter. What's his face?
Interesting.
Anthony.
Do not pass go, Clarice.
Yeah, I mean, obviously not playing the Hannibal Lecter guy, but
collect $200.
It's got to be an old. It's got to be an old balding fart. That,
how,
you know,
how about George Costanza? How about Jason Alexander?
Oh, that would be. I would like that.
Shave him up. Like, give him a.
How do you? What do you do? See, a Clue movie makes sense because the game is based on murder mysteries, is based on Murder on the Orient Express and all these things where you've got a bunch of suspects. But how do you, I mean, I guess the same question could have been asked about Battleship, but how do you make a Monopoly movie? You're given the task to make a movie from the game Monopoly.
It's a street on New York. Some dude is buying up all the houses. You got orphans who, you know, it's basically Breaking Two. I mean, you just
what?
You just have the rich, powerful guy who's trying to buy up and build hotels, and he's displacing, you know, and you just every once in a while you throw in a free parking joke, and you know, somebody goes to jail.
This guy's got a little terrier, and this guy's got a.
But
you know,
right. Okay, fine. Some terrible director and writers. Fine, I get that. But what does Ridley Scott ever want to do? Oh, that sounds okay. Who's going to be the banker? Who wants to be the banker? Okay, you're going to be the banker. Do we use fake money? Like, how far do they go with the parody of the thing? I wonder.
Right. Oh, you got to stick in just a little joke.
By the way, Wilford Brimley, he's your guy.
That's too easy.
That's the win.
There's Randy,
the win.
Who do you want?
You got me. Uncle Pennybags is Wilford Brimley. Although Uncle Pennybags,
my phone agrees.
Uncle Pennybags could be played by Sam Elliott.
Oh, you know what? That's an interesting take.
Just doing on the mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he doesn't have to be short and portly. You could make him mysterious and interesting, and mm-hmm. boy, mm-hmm. couldn't he do that? That'd be I'm in. Collect $200. y'all gonna take Park Place, you dumbass.
Oh, you just killed me.
Yeah, there you go. That's how you do the movie. You've got four friends, four high school chums, right? And they all grow up and they go in different directions, but they're all making money.
Okay.
And then they all converge in this.
Paul Rudd's in there.
That's right. Good. Rudd. Right. Zach Galifianakis. Right. They all converge in Atlantic City to start buying, you know, this property that's going on sale, right. And they're trying to scramble to collect it.
Throughout the film, they all keep going to jail for stupid reasons. Every one of them finds themselves in jail. Every 5 minutes, another one goes to jail.
It's super random how they go to jail. And also,
dude, I could make this movie a hit.
Paul Rudd's riding around in that little car. Somebody else lives in a boot or a shoe.
Right.
Yeah, someone wears a big hat. Owen Wilson's going to be in this movie.
Oh, Owen Wilson, sure. Yeah, he made his money from oil, and he's coming up. He's big on the railroads. I love railroads.
This movie writes itself. So easy.
Just every once in a while, Pennybags going, y'all need to take.
I've been wanting to pick up Shortline. I've been looking at Shortline, really wanting to pick that one up.
You know, and it needs to be that crew. Now that I think about it, like, it needs to also have Vince Vaughn.
Mm-hmm. What's his name?
The right team.
Yeah, who's the dude that does all Apatow? Just have him direct it.
Right.
All right, done. Executive producer Ridley Scott.
He'll have Ben Stiller in the film. Yeah,
I'm in. All right. This is interesting. Carrie Fisher, films, Princess Leia there, Bunhead, was originally
Princess Leia.
Yeah, exactly. She was supposed to be cast as Miss Scarlet, which I think would have been a better pick, but whatever. Until she ended up in rehab 4 days before filming started, so that was a last minute replacement.
Right.
And she would have been a better pick.
Because she's cute.
Yeah.
She's about on par.
No.
I mean, they are.
No, she is. She's fresh off Gold Bikini. Miss Scarlet is fresh off freaking used up dirty truck. She looks terrible compared to her. Carrie Fisher, way better looking back then.
Do you think this would have kept her career going if she hadn't had it checked in?
Oh, I think she'd have had a much better career if she had not been all drugs and stuff. She had all kinds of opportunities she missed and turned down and stuff. She talks about them in her books.
I can't believe I'm alone in having a thing for Leslie Ann Warren. I think she's...
I agree. She's fabulous.
So Scott's alone in not having
a thing. Scott's alone on all of it.
She's fabulous? Well, hold on a minute.
Fabulous. where else was I going to go with that?
All right. I'm just saying, go freeze frame a couple of her moments and then tell me that you're enamored still with her. She's not the ugliest person I've seen. It's not like Steve Buscemi in a dress. She's fine. But I'm just saying, overall, there's nobody in this movie where you're like, whoa, freaking companion from Firefly level stuff, you know? Nobody exists like that in this movie.
Jane Whedon's pretty good looking.
No, wait, who's she?
She's from the Go-Go. She was the singing telegram girl. She had about 30 seconds of live, or not even that, 5 seconds of live on-air time.
Oh, she was a Go-Go.
Yeah, she was a Go-Go.
Oh,
she was a Go-Go. Okay,
then. Some people actually say when you're a Go-Go, once you're a Go-Go once, you're a Go-Go forever.
All right. I submit the best looking person in the movie is Johnny Fever. That's all. I'm just going to leave it right there.
I loved this. When he showed up, I was like, ah.
Yeah, that's great. Johnny Fever, dude. Sorry, Randy, what?
I was just going to say that I forgot. I was Johnny there Fever in the just... moment. I got to thinking about Carrie Fisher and how she was always destined for problems because, you know, of how she came into this world.
Yeah.
And I was going to say something, and then you went to, I forget. I'm done. I'm glad Carrie Fisher wasn't in this
movie. She's doing fine now. She's up for Jabba the Hutt in the remake that's coming.
Oh, jeez.
Disney, 2015. Disney. Too soon? Too soon?
You're evil, man. You're evil.
No, I like Carrie Fisher. I think she's a riot. I don't know if you've heard any of her, like, one-woman stuff, but she's great.
I know what I was going to say.
She's a hoot.
Mr. Body.
No.
The actor who played Mr. Body. Oh,
yeah. Hey, can I submit him for IMDb photo of the day?
I want to submit him for best movie or best name ever. Leaving.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm leaving.
Well, that's why they set the trivia says, and I don't know, there's no way to confirm this, but it says the reason he was chosen was because his name was funny because he's Mr. Body Leaving, meaning the body's leaving. Get it? That sounds like internet tomfoolery to me, but whatever.
I think he did a fine job. And if you look at his IMDb information,
he was in Fear.
Right, right.
That's right.
Says and, okay. So, trivia, suffers from bipolar syndrome. Sweet.
So,
that's great.
Syndrome?
So Lee Ving, that's not his real name. He was born Lee Capolero.
Lee Cumming. And then he changed it.
Wow. I want
that to be true. I want that to be true, you guys.
Just stop right there.
But he fronted the famous L.A. punk rock band Fear.
Right. Yeah. Too bad they lost his recording.
You said that.
Oh, you said that? Who was it? What did he have to do with Dave Mustaine? I read that somewhere.
They were in MD45 together.
Oh, okay. I knew you'd know that.
Mad Dog 45, baby. And they recorded one album together, and Lee on vocals, and they lost it.
This is what's great. So listen to this. It was an MD45 with Dave Mustaine. They recorded one album in 1996 with Lee on vocals. Mustaine replaced Lee's vocals on the remastered version that came out in 2004 because the original tapes of his vocal tracks were lost.
Suffers that was
from
horrible.
Then it says suffers from bipolar syndrome, and then it ends there. Great. Right.
Thanks, guys. There is
thanks. Trivia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're glad that it was so trivial.
He had a tattoo in his right arm. Lee James Jude, I guess that's his real name.
Lee James Jude?
Yeah, Lee James Jude. Hard to say.
It says his real name something else. Lee Capolero.
He's edited on the movie Nightmares, 1983. Anyway, I think
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Did we watch that for? We haven't watched that.
Oh, no. We should. That one fits okay in the, I think it fits our, it doesn't break our comedy rule.
Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah, this film almost does, because it's a pretty damn good comedy.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it was better in 85, but yeah, it's all right.
Well, okay, I just saw it in 2012 for the first time, and I'm telling you, it was a good comedy. And it especially appealed to the inner child in me that spent so many years as a teenager and in my early adulthood in the theater, you know, working on school plays and this kind of thing. There's a very, very stagey, this is what happens when I drink scotch and try to podcast.
It's clever. Hey, I'm drinking scotch.
There's just a very open door, closed door, farce, stage play aspect to this that I found very enjoyable.
That is exactly. Yeah, I had like that feeling
room,
the whole time.
Like one, right.
Mm-hmm. Very a much. One and you know what? You felt like we were watching actors who were trained and raised up in that too. Like, right. And they were. These are all people that know stage, and it's the overact. Like I'd watch McKeon do moves and stuff physically that were so exaggerated that it was like it's what they tell you to do on a stage play when you're trying to emote.
Right.
And I got that through that whole thing. That's a great
and
thing.
A lot of projecting the voice. I mean, it's a lot of that, a lot of yelling.
Yeah. Now is Mr. Body supposed to be, here's my question, because I was trying to be literal about the board game part.
Right.
And I haven't played the board game in a long time, so forgive me if I'm just blowing smoke here, but. Was he supposed to represent kind of our viewpoint? I know there's always a murder victim.
He's the dead body. He's the person who...
You find the dead body. That was
the part. You're more the Johnny Fever viewpoint.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, so we're the ones trying to solve the... I haven't played in so long. I couldn't remember if you played the people that were being suspected.
You play you sort of play the people being suspected, but you can suspect yourself.
Right, right.
So really, in essence, you yeah. I mean, your player piece is represented by one of the six people. And how come there's no Mr. Black? By the way,
right,
very white game.
Right, they did have a gay person, but nothing else.
No, I love that part.
It was not very multiple.
Well, and he wasn't even really gay.
I love the '80s homosexual comments. They're fantastic.
It was so funny when Christopher Lloyd like crept away from him. Like, wow, you couldn't do that today.
No, not quite as much.
He's super offensive.
Or you'd have to do it in a way that was so knowing today that you could still do it, but it would have to be, well, yeah, this guy's a homophobe, and we're going to explain that or whatever.
Right, right.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. The death of the hot maid, okay, that happened.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Boy, they sure couldn't be bothered with that.
That was weird because it kind of gave away a lot.
No, that's my question. So like see in the board game there's all these multiple endings. Like there's not even just four. There's not even three in one game? And one missing.
No, there's six. There's six possible people who could kill and six possible weapons.
Right.
And eight possible rooms. I mean, there's one ending in the game.
Oh, right. Yeah. It's defined before the game starts. You put a couple of cards in an envelope.
Right.
Okay.
I'm not sure what you're saying, Scott.
Well, I'll get to it. The reason I'm asking all this is I've forgotten so much about the game that I thought, well, when she died, was that foreshadowing about something? Like in the board game, was there something about the maid?
There's no maid. There's no butler. There's no policeman. There's no
singing telegram
girl. There's no random traveler whose car broke down. I mean, you've got
the guy reminded me of the Shining guy.
Yeah, right.
Not just because he's black, everybody. Not just because he was black. All right.
There's one guy in the board game. There's one guy who dies and six people who possibly did it. And you've got to figure out which one of the six did it with which weapon and which room.
Okay. I'm bringing Clue to N13 and I'm going to try this because
absolutely,
I have not played it in many years. You know, it's really weird though. This brings me to my other point that I wrote down here. Board games. Today.
How do they work?
There's a right. Yeah. What's the deal with board games? But today people rave about board games. It's the big deal. Everyone gets out of Carcassonne set or they're playing,
Catan.
Yeah, playing Catan or they're whipping out whatever. And there's all these Kickstarter games coming out and people are making them left and right. It's just this big resurgence, right? But everyone's got this stack, like you said, Ibbet, in their closet of Scrabble, Monopoly, mm-hmm. Clue, Stratego, you know, those right. kinds of things. But
Battleship.
There's a problem with that.
Stratego being directed by Michael Bay.
I don't know. Are people going to PAX or going to these big, you know, Gen Cons and things? And are they breaking out the Strategos?
Yeah. Not. I don't think board games, though, do they? I mean, there's a lot of new world kind of games.
New world games.
I don't know. I was coming up with
monkeys
some kind of
have tails on them.
Right. Jumanji. But I don't think they play. I don't think they play Stratego. I don't think Monopoly's getting pulled out at PAX or nothing
PAX
like that
or anything. No, but I mean that's.
But it would if that was new, and you know what I'm saying. Like that, I feel like there's a bias against the old board games because they were just there, and you could go to a Kmart and buy one.
Yeah, but you know when I go to there's a in Old Town Arvada, there's the Arvada Beer Company, and it's this place where you can go get a pint of brown ale or you know some such and such pale ale or whatever, and it's this really nice place. You just basically sit down and they don't serve food, nothing. You just get beer. And over in the corner, they've got a wall, or not a wall, but a little bookcase of board games. And it's all the good ones. It's like Scrabble, Monopoly.
They're all missing pieces.
Probably like the piece of the board is torn off or something. And there's somebody drew a happy face on Boardwalk. But those are the ones, you know, people want. Those are like the soul food of games.
Nostalgia.
For every Carcassonne game that people have in their closet, they're not going to get rid of their Monopoly. They may replace it with the electronic
credit card
Monopoly thing mm-hmm. with the, you know, selling the Eiffel Tower or whatever. But those games will always, you know, everybody has to have a Monopoly in their house.
Yeah. And we played it when I was a kid. I feel like there's a bias against those things now.
Do you really? Play it now with your family?
Occasionally, yeah. We got the World of Warcraft one, the WoW edition of Monopoly, and we'd crack that open and play that.
Have you watched Wesley Crusher's podcast? Because
very little. I've saw part of the first one and I haven't seen it since. So I know they're pushing all sorts of stuff, not just, you know, Not just the hot new, you know, Magic the Gathering set or whatever, but
through the 90s, I thought I was really convinced there would never be another great board game. And then in the late 90s and early turn of the century, board games just really started nailing it again.
The like Germans.
New board games came along. They're just so good. And so you have this sort of new generation, and kids nowadays, you can make an old game like Clue accessible, because they're games that they're actually interested in that are very similar to it.
Right. I could see that. Do you guys have a favorite board game? Just curious. So I think this is a great, just this is a good opportunity that. About this right. to ask these kind of weird questions. Like, who would you cast as the penny bag guy? What is your favorite board game? And to make it interesting, we'll start with Ibbot, then Dunaway, then Randy, and then me.
That will make it interesting.
That's going to make it so interesting.
Bang!
Just to make it interesting.
Here's how we'll make it interesting. You guys decide yes or no whether it makes a good. You could make a movie out of your board game, or better yet, what? So I don't care about your favorite board game. What board game do you think will make the best? What will
Damn
make
it.
The best
you
movie?
Have to change my answer.
What will make the best movie? Do you think?
Thanks a lot. My
answer hasn't changed since Scott said that. Sorts of.
My favorite game is Monopoly. I mean, if you've been to my house, if you come downstairs, I have a big 1955 Monopoly board framed, mounted on the wall in a box with like in a shadow box with pieces actually glued onto the board. Like it's as if you pulled it right out of 1955 as a couple people were playing it.
Wow.
Right.
And actually even the colors of the basement, we were originally going to have Monopoly. And this was going to be our game room down here. And so we were going to actually have Monopoly prints on the walls and stuff. But the ceiling is boardwalk blue. We actually matched it. The walls themselves are the light green of the board.
Holy You're right, crap, Scott. This was dude. The right order to do it in.
Yeah.
How do you
this
follow
is really
that?
Interesting. Wow.
But would it make a good movie? Well, in the way that I described it earlier, yes, it would make a good, sure. good movie, and I could make it a hit. But
wow.
But will
if
they?
If my favorite game was chess, my story about the colors on my walls is going to really suck.
Oh, yeah. Boring. Well, or exciting. If you just checkerboard everything, woo!
But as far as a board game that would make a good movie, I was trying to think if Operation could make a good movie. I mean,
oh, that would be fun.
You could.
It's
kind of been drama television for the last 50
years. Isn't House?
Yeah, but no, but nobody ever, since they don't have the license, nobody ever yells from the other room, "Don't touch his funny bone!" Yeah, and have that happen every time somebody gets jabbed with a scalpel. I'm down with that. I think that's a fun one.
I think Stratego actually could be made into a clever movie.
But, the problem with Stratego, I can't talk. The reason that's a problem and the reason that Battleship was kind of a problem is you don't actually need the board game to make the movie. So right. Battleship was just, call that
right.
Battleship 2815 or something, or Battleship Liam Neeson edition. Who cares?
Danger at Sea.
Danger at Sea. Sorry, Liam Neeson.
Three.
Because then it's just, a colonel's on a ship and he's running this thing and these aliens attack and they're the last line of defense. I mean, you know.
They missed an opportunity to be in a boat where they were shooting blind at something and for them to be able to, let's just divide this area up into quadrants. We'll fire and we'll listen to see if we hit something. You know, we've got our sonar going. We'll listen to see if we hit something. And it's kind of this like Hunt for Red October level of suspense that they could have absolutely done that, been an homage to the game and still been true to both, you know, still been true to the movie and been true to the game.
All right, Dunaway, what do you say?
All right, I'm going with best movie game adaptation. Sorry.
Oh, you were saying like, sorry, for real.
Tell us how the movie is.
All right. So you're on this, it's the 3D animated feature, and you're on this planet, and there's this giant ball thing in the middle with dice. I don't know where I'm going. it would make the worst movie ever.
Yeah.
Now, it's great title.
Am I going to have to beat the emails that say there was no Pop-O-Matic in Sorry? You're thinking of Trouble.
Oh, Trouble. I'm sorry. There's going
to
be Trouble.
Oh yeah, you were gonna have to field those.
Sorry.
Nice catch,
sorry.
Brian.
Trouble.
Nice,
sorry.
Nice catch. You were gonna sorry. Have to take all the brunt of that, and now you won't. So
what
good
is
job.
Sorry? Which one is that one then? What am I thinking of?
You're thinking of what I was gonna answer with.
Oh,
so
you were gonna say sorry, really?
Yeah, Sorry is my favorite board game of all time.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah. And what I loved about it is I grew up with siblings that were 10 and 13 years older than me. And one of my parents would play Sorry with us. You know, it's a four-person game, up to four-person game. And it, because the game is really about a lot of luck. Like, there's a tiny bit of strategy on picking which of your pieces to move at any given time. But generally speaking, you can randomize that and you're going to do okay. It's about what you roll. Mm-hmm. But the whole point of it, and you would know this if you'd ever seen the commercials for Sorry, is that every now and then you make a roll where you knock someone all the way back to home and you go, I'm sorry. And as a little kid, that is the most fun thing ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like the pretty sneaky sis of Connect Four. And
Well, it's funny because we all have board games we like but think would be bad movies, but one that we... But then we think of one. So for me, my favorite board game, period, ever, of all time, is Pictionary.
Really?
Yeah, I love Pictionary. And I wasn't even that good at it.
I always hated Pictionary.
The better artist you are, the worse you are, because you take too long. But I still love it. I love just the tenseness of it. You get a couple of good teams going. It's a blast. You can watch marriages melt before your eyes if you're not careful. So it's a really, I think that's a really fun game, especially with other people. Well, that's the only way to play is with other people. Don't play with yourself. It's really stupid. But the game that I think would make a better movie, you could make something out of Ticket to Ride, I think.
Fairly newer.
It'd have to be period piece set, you know, like the way Ticket to Ride's set in like the 20s or whatever it is, or maybe even earlier, probably late 1800s, I guess it is. I don't know when it's set, but that you could make a movie out of that. Now, it sounds a little boring.
Based on that. It was with Wilford Brimley and Kevin Bacon.
Oh, yeah.
But there was only one train line.
There was only one train.
And in Ticket to Ride, there's like eight.
Yeah. There's a whole lot of trains.
A confusing movie. I was going to say Risk would make a good movie, but it's everything. Like you couldn't just have a movie about everybody in the world competing to take over the whole world.
Yeah.
Right, right. What about Don't Wake Dad?
I think that'd be a game.
Yeah, I think that'd be a fun one. Yeah, maybe have Eddie Murphy in there and just freaking out constantly every time they wake him up.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm in. Sold on your idea.
I'm gonna agree that Stratego has the most going for it in terms of characterization because there's so many different kinds of pieces and they have all these very different motivations.
Hungry hippos.
See that? Nothing.
That would be fantastic.
That would be like the movie Anaconda only with hippos.
Or Mousetrap. Let's do Mousetrap.
Yeah, Mousetrap.
We never had all the pieces. There was always something missing.
There was always a piece
starring
missing.
Steve Buscemi as the diver.
Did any of you play Life regularly?
I loved Life.
I played it twice in my entire life. Yeah, no pun intended.
You'd only have to cast two people in Mousetrap.
Right.
The diver, I forgot about the diver, and the mouse. So you would be like a CGI, you know, DreamWorks business there. That's great. All right. Before we get to clips, I do want to ask this question. Could anyone else be more bothered by the running around talking about who did it part of this movie?
I was a little bit,
first of all, I was forgetful that it existed. I forgot it was there. It makes sense that it's there. It's the part of the game, you know, it's the most important maybe part of this, of the game to movie translation. But I was worn out. Didn't know which way was up or down, lost the thread, got tired, felt exhausted by the end of it. Clearly, I'm not alone.
No.
Well, good.
No, and this movie is it's funny. I mean, you look at the pacing of this movie, and I think the first half of it is very slow, very slowly paced.
Right.
And then it just goes into this breakneck explanation that is so twisted and confusing that the same thing happened to me. It's like, oh, okay. So Miss Scarlet did it. Fine. That's all we need to know. Really? I mean, do we really need to go into the parts of the film where everyone was there?
Yeah. Does he really need to go back in the kitchen and stab the meat to explain?
Right. Well, I actually enjoyed Tim Curry running around and impersonating people and throwing people on the ground and dragging them up the steps.
It's played that way for comedic effect. And I felt like it gets funnier and funnier as it goes.
That wore me out.
That bit.
Just wore me out. And Brian's right about the first bit being slow. In fact, this sound right here represents how I feel about the first half right here. It's just them sitting there sipping soup. You
know, right. And I actually like that because it's a real good juxtaposition of what's going to happen later. And I love when Christopher Lloyd and Susan Sarandon, when they both come up to the front door and, you know, it's raining and it's just this nice little calm before the storm, and it's I like it. I think it's a well shot film and well paced.
It's everything. All right. You know what? I just kind of walked away not quite feeling the way I felt like it, about it when I was a kid. And I know that's normal, and I get it. And it's time has passed.
You knew everything too.
I'd never seen these other two endings. Those were total surprises.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Had no idea. I for whatever reason I saw it once. I think in the theater, and that's all I ever saw. And I couldn't be bothered to know all this trivia about it, or that it had alternate endings. That was for kids much smarter and who cared more than me. So I just kept moving on, you know. That was the year. I mean, 84, 85, that's when we got all the best movies ever made.
Right, right.
And this movie was just not a huge deal for me.
Mm-hmm. So there was a trope in the film that kind of bugged me.
Oh, a trope?
What?
I'm not even ready for this. Okay.
You won't realize that this corpse is dead because I'm going to move the hand around and make out with the face. And that trope, I don't know what it is about that trope, but it bugs me. Every time I see it, I'm simultaneously disgusted beyond belief and just a little bit perplexed at how the person coming in, like if I was that guy and I came into the room and somebody was animating a corpse, would I know? Like I spend way too long trying to figure that out.
You call it the weekend at Bernie's trope.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Right.
I mean, they're coming in from, at least in Clue, they're coming in from the other. You know, they're mostly blocked by the sofa, so they don't see. They just see a hand on the back of this woman's head.
Right.
One of them is the maid, the cook.
Yeah,
and Miss Peacock is behind her, moving her hands, right. And like, oh, it was just, oh, I couldn't.
And if they've got enough time to hide Miss Peacock there, why don't they just hide the maid back there?
Just hide the maid back there, right. That was my thing about Mr. Body. Like, couldn't you have put him under a sofa or something?
Anything else? Yeah, that's gross. And also, don't forget, the knife sticking out of the back of the well-pounded cook. Like, she was not small. And all I can think of was, you got Peacock back there. She's got a knife, you know, jamming up into her sternum that's still stuck in the back of the cook, yet still reaching around doing fake makeout hands. That is twisted, dude.
Right.
That is freaking twisted. A few moments like that. In fact, okay, so this is probably a trope too, but I don't even know. So I'll play this.
Who the hell is King Willie?
So it's like this in these movies and movies like this. Death is just treated differently than it really would be, right? It's a joke. It's a farce. It's a whatever. It reminds me of why I like horror movies. Clearly, I don't want to have actual people chased around with a butcher knife and killed. That would be terrible. Families would be destroyed. People's futures would be altered forever. All these things would be bad. But in a movie, you check your brain at the door and you have a good time, and it's like the kind of the what if comes out and it's all good. Well, in a movie like this, death is even treated on a different level than that. It's like, I'm going to weekend at Bernie's that guy up in the chair and make it look like he's drinking.
Right.
And we're going to make out and pretend, you know, like all that stuff's going on like you were talking about. And I am more unsettled as a viewer when I see that than I do Jason running a knife through somebody's neck multiple times.
But it's funny because the description you give applies to the first half of the movie or the first few deaths. There's a great comedic bit where they're coming in, you know, they're just kind of...
Oh, right. And they see like the fifth death.
Right. And they just look in. All right. Well, the policeman's dead. Great. There's two bodies. Here. Yeah.
Everything's normal. No. Two bodies.
Just always find that a little bit off-putting. It's weird. All right. Well, let's do some clips. We got a few here. A number of them.
Got another trope.
Here's a... Oh, you do?
Oh, I know what it was. I'm sorry. Was it boobies? It's in so many movies. Somebody makes a reference to getting hit in the nuts and all the men at the same time all cross their legs.
That actually made me laugh.
Yeah. I don't know why that trope always sticks out to me. There's just something about that joke.
There were a few really well-timed slapsticky bits. That was one. There were other times where the timing was just real good. I liked when Tim Curry took a shower with the doorknob, you know, all that kind of stuff. There were moments where I was like, all right, this is, if I was a kid right now, you know, I'd be having Larry Curly Moe time. This would be fun. Right. And that's why I'm saying there's a British thing about that. There's a British touch to that kind of slapstick that I could totally feel through.
The Benny Hill music, and I can't remember the name of that song, but that would have fit perfectly into the background of Tim Curry's. Yep. Yeah.
You'd have to speed them all up, though. No one likes that.
Right. Chase him around with a police officer.
Yeah. all right, here you go. First clip, I don't remember what this is, so I'll just play it.
Yvette, Could you attend to the colonel and give him anything he requires? Within reason, that is.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was...
No, she has a reputation, does she?
Within reason.
Hello. I'm the clown in It, is what he should say. All right, here's another one. Oh, what? I never knew what a butler does, and now we know.
Indeed, no, sir. I'm merely a humble butler.
What exactly do you do?
I butle, sir.
Which means what?
The butler is head of the kitchen and dining room. I keep everything tidy. That's all.
Butle? He butles?
Is there somebody who doesn't know what a butler does?
That's a good joke. I like that. Yeah. It's like when you say, what does a burglar do? And they say, he burgles.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they missed an opportunity for a joke where they says, oh, do you like Kipling? And Susan Sarandon says, I'll eat anything. But she's supposed to say, I don't know, I've never kippled.
Yeah,
that was a good joke. I like that we've just gone ahead and decided that Susan Sarandon is the surrogate name.
Right.
I think that's great. All right, here's Madeline Kahn eating soup. One more time. I just love that sound.
That's three or four different people eating soup.
Yeah, actually. They kept using it, too. It's the same, little Foley piece. Who's your husband?
Well, come on, then. Who's your husband?
I don't know why I captured that.
Your husband,
Martin Mull's
father.
He's an interesting guy. Interesting that he found so much success doing what he did. And I know he's a comedian and did some other stuff unrelated to this, but do you guys think his popularity was just due to his, I don't know, his kind of just uniqueness? Every guy with a mustache face? Like I don't think he was all that unique. That's Dabney what I'm saying.
Coleman. Him and Dabney Coleman, I always get him confused. Mm-hmm. I'm like,
Yeah, I don't know. There's something about him that's so plain that he's not plain anymore.
Mm-hmm. Right.
He's so plain that he's unique. It's hard to explain. All right.
I saw Martin Mull do stand up.
Did you? He did some stand up, right?
A long time ago. He was really good.
Mm.
Like, I wish I could send you back in time 20 years and go see Martin Mull do stand up because it's really good.
He's well respected. I'll bet you could. I'll bet that stuff's on YouTube somewhere. But you can find it.
Maybe it is.
Let's go back in time. Here's another clip about something being not true.
So how did you know Colonel Mustard works in Washington? Is he one of your clients?
Certainly not.
I was asking Miss Scarlet.
Well, you tell him it's not true.
It's not true.
It's not true.
Get the stage play bit there. Total stage play. I kind of like that. You know, in retrospect, I liked it more than I thought I did. Like right now, I'm enjoying it more
right.
than I did yesterday when I watched it. State Department. Oh, here you go. So this is Lenny stating who he is.
I work for the State Department, and I'm a homosexual.
Fantastic.
And I'm a homosexual.
But in the 80s, that was funny because you didn't.
Right.
You thought you didn't know any, and
right.
You were still calling You were still calling your friends the F word. You know, the FAG word.
Mm.
And that was still funny. You know, kind of like when you'd say, you dude, you're so retarded. Now you can't say that anymore. Remember those days?
Yes. I'm trying to figure out what's next. It's going to be Blonde.
Ooh, Randy, hold on. Don't let's. I want to hear this. What you think it's going to be? What, Blonde? No, I mean, really, this is fun to predict what the next socially frowned upon phrase will be.
No, I don't think it's actually that fun.
I think it's fun. All right, so you say Blonde. I think the next one's going to be. Oh man, I think it's. Mm. I think it's going to switch. So a bunch of people are going to demand they get the word gay back.
Right.
They want it to be happy again. Mm. And not. It's something like that.
I want my gay back. I want it now. I want it to mean happy.
I don't see a way out of this topic.
All right.
I feel trapped now.
I need an exit strategy.
Here's the only way to play the next clip. I just want to state this for the record. The body guy who was overdubbed in every scene he was in.
Leaving.
That's pretty bad.
Leaving. I believe that he is a Harvey Keitel sound alike. Now I'm not saying it's Harvey Keitel.
I heard that. Yeah.
I'm just saying
I
he sounds like
that.
Him. So here's 8 seconds.
Merely that you were all meeting to discuss our little financial arrangements. And if I did not appear, Wadsworth would be informing the police about it all.
It's like a young Harvey Keitel.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, kinda.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Before he
do that. Mm-hmm.
There was someone
I'll
else in there. Can you play it again?
Before he shot Alan Cumming in the chest. Wait, here it is. Ready? Here it is. Oh, it's not Alan Cumming. Who was it? Tim Roth. Thank you very much. All right, here it is. I'll play it again.
Merely that you were all meeting to discuss our little financial arrangements. And if I did not appear, Wadsworth would be informing the police about it all.
Wadsworth would be reporting the police after all.
Who do you think?
Little De Niro in there, too. Yeah,
maybe.
That might be what it is.
You talking to me?
I don't know.
All right.
It's a lot. It's a lot of different voices.
All right. Shoot, scream. I like that one.
So many screams in this movie.
Lots of the usually peacock lady.
This, and we've been collecting screams for 200 episodes. This movie could have doubled the length of the
right. There's a great one that Madeline Kahn does after a Michael McKean, you know, slapstick take of getting scared by something, where she goes, for no reason.
No, well, she's been screaming, and he shuts her up, and she still has a little more in her, and so it comes out after this long pregnant pause. Oh, I wish you'd captured.
I might have. Okay. Let's see what we got. Here's our Dr. McCoy moment.
He's dead.
All right,
he's dead.
That's pretty good. That sounded like Doc Brown.
He's dead.
How about angry? Oh, some angry acting. So here you go. You don't remember whose anime here it is.
How did he die?
I don't know. We're not a forensic expert.
Well, one of us must have killed him.
Well, I didn't do it.
Oh, God, I need a drink.
She's great.
Sounds like Randy.
Happy birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Randy. Okay, here's your scream. Oh, go ahead.
I might be drinking a little.
Here's scream slap. This might be it.
Oh, dude, that's a trope too.
Yeah, it is a trope.
Name some other films where men slap women.
Wow,
the Chris Brown story.
Really? Right. I mean, you can't name any because I've seen it many, many times.
I think you're right, but I can't.
But it was more older movies. You don't see it too much
not necessarily. Like sometimes it's a trope. It's a trope in a trope. Like in the movie "Don't Be a Menace to South Central" while drinking your juice in the hood.
Mm. Right.
There's a scene where Ashtray's grandmother keeps goading him into giving her.
I've not
keeps
seen
giving
this.
Her his best shot, and he punches her right in
is
the face.
Is this a parody of Boys in the Hood?
And
every
Dead Poet Society. And
okay. You know. That's like one of those scary movie things or whatever.
Right. Yes, exactly.
Like Airplane.
And speaking of the, whatever their names are, the Wayans brothers,
White Girls.
I'm gonna get you, sucker. Has a
sucker. Did we ever watch that on here?
I'm gonna get you, sucker. Yeah.
I love that movie.
Yeah. A Hole in the Roof.
No.
There's a hole in the roof.
Oh, duck you sucker.
Now I'm going to get you, sucker.
Oh, okay. It's duck you sucker. Oh, okay. Well, there you have it then.
My point was it's a trope it's often played for laughs. Like, no, you didn't sort of thing when a man slaps a woman. This film double dips on it.
Whoa.
Right.
All right. Fair enough. How about Scream, another Scream? I like that one because they all go.
That would be my favorite.
At the end.
That's a toxic scream there, right, man.
The first few seconds of that scream aren't startling. But boy.
Right? What?
Made me laugh. All right. Let's see. Oh, Tim Curry got dubbed over a few times. And when they did, not him. He didn't go back to the studio. There's no way.
Really?
Here's how I know. Listen to this. This is supposed to be him.
I'm not the butler, but I'm a butler.
That's not him, dude.
No, that's a good point. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, real bad, real off. Mm. It's jumped out at me, and I said, well, tape that. My favorite line in the movie.
Who?
It's three who's. It's pretty funny.
Sounds like a bunch of owls in the house.
Who?
Especially that middle one. Peacock again.
Yeah.
She's pretty good, dude. She's a funny actress.
Best character in the film for my taste. In her blocking, in her manner. Even her costume was spectacular.
Yeah, pretty good. And when she got down to the table and everyone's being all, you know, super quiet doing this, and she's the only one to speak up, and she starts trying to get everybody to be all social. It's really funny, kind of just great flow there. She was good. It felt very improv, too. All right, so there's my compliment to one of the uglier people on the cast. here is a Doc Brown impression from who you might think would do it.
So it was all nothing to do with a disappearing nuclear physicist and Colonel Mustard's work on the new fusion bomb.
That's the most Doc Brown I think he got.
That sounds like you pulled it. Terms. Did you not pull that from Back to the Future?
No, I didn't.
All right.
It's the Libyans. It's the Libyans, Marty. It could have been, but it wasn't.
Totally, yeah.
Mrs. Peacock was a man.
Mrs. Peacock was a man?
That was actually pretty good.
That was good because it was a two slap. okay. Yeah, I guess I didn't have that other slap you guys talked about, but I do have this ending to one of the endings, which was my favorite of the endings, and this line here from Lenny.
I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
That's great. Of course you are. And there's your clips. Very enjoyable, I thought. Oh, what's this? It's time for awards. Let's do awards. These are awards that they won, or this movie won collectively or individually. And here's what they are. The cool use of a doorknob used to turn on a shower in some secret room award goes to Clue. Clue is also up for this award and won it. The Let's Find a Way to Make Light of Actual Human Loss Award. Good job.
Oh my gosh.
Good job.
Have any of you ever seen a film where all the characters so casually accept that people are dying?
No. Murder by Death. They did that in there.
You're going to keep bringing that
I'm
up.
I'm going to keep digging that up. I'm going to dig that corpse up one more time. Heathers, what? I haven't. You know what? Never seen
that. That was. Oh, really? That was. You're right. I don't know. It's a lot darker, though.
It is. It's much darker.
I have not seen Heathers. Finally, the great way to get Johnny Fever in your movie award. Good job. I was pretty happy about that when he showed up. I like him a lot. That guy.
What's his award for this film?
What's his? Oh, go ahead.
The Lifetime Achievement Award for Madeline Kahn. Somehow she brought every character she ever played before it into this one character. And then she totally kept to it. Like there was never a time when I felt like I really knew who she was going for. It just felt like this melange of things that she was doing.
I do love her, and she died way too young. Can we give her the award for someone who died way too young? Because 57, that's too young for her.
That sounds like what, cancer?
I want to say cancer.
You don't want to say that.
I think it was cancer. Yeah.
Oh wow. The trivia, some more of the trivia from IMDb. John Cleese was considered for Tim Curry's role.
Oh, wow. Can you imagine that?
Better movie.
Yeah.
Better movie. I think so.
I like Tim Curry.
Don't get me wrong. I like Tim Curry.
I think Tim Curry was overused in the rest of the cast, especially Madeline Kahn and Christopher Lloyd were underused.
Right.
Mm. Yeah.
Huh. I didn't want any more Christopher Lloyd in this film, so.
Yeah, I could use
a little bit less of Tim Curry.
I feel like, because think of it this way, this would have been just post, not too many years past, like maybe 6 or 7 years past the Basil Fawlty years for him. He still had that physical comedy thing going.
You're right. It would have been a very Fawlty Towers film.
It would have. And him running around explaining stuff, that would have been more entertaining.
There would have been a lot more derision towards the guests.
Yeah.
There'd be, you know, John Cleese and six people that he would not want in this house.
Yeah. I can literally watch. There are a few shows like this for me. And one of them is Fawlty Towers. I can watch it at the drop of the hat and never be bored. I always enjoy it. All right. Well, let's move on to the soundtrack grade. I'd give it an S for Slapsticky.
I thought it was really good.
I did too. I liked it. I thought it was very appropriate. And it reminded me of some other stuff. I mean, it reminded me of the music in like Luigi's Mansion that was probably used later on.
Mario.
I hate that game. Here is your Star Trek connections. Michael McKean, Mr. Green on Voyager, or here he was Mr. Green and Voyager. He played the clown of the Thaw in the Thaw.
Yeah. That clown is freaking spooky.
Yeah, pretty scary. Also, Jane Whalen, the singing telegram girl. Weedland.
Weedland.
No, it's spelled. Daryl spelled it weird, or maybe he got it right. I can't read. Anyway, she was the singing telegram girl. Also on the Voyage Home, Star Trek IV, she played Trillia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was in the. Interesting. She was. I don't know what that character did, but she was also in the '80s rock band Go Go's. Mm-hmm. And then finally, Christopher Lloyd, who played Professor Plum, was in Star Trek III: The Search for Spock, played Klingon Commander Krug.
And he was awesome.
Oh well, okay.
I think he was awesome.
Okay, I'll give you that. I really like him, and he should do more stuff. I don't have a problem with him. I'd like his one note perform. I like that he's the one guy all the time.
I don't like him when he's not in Klingon makeup.
No. Well, fair enough. moving on to the Twitter post that you guys make where you sum the whole thing up in succinct manner as possible. Let's start with Randy. What do you got?
I've got Clue.
Sorry. I've got a lot of scotch in my system.
It took a while for the site to load.
Yeah.
Twitter took a moment.
Let's start that again. Let's start over with the word that I've already said. Clue. A bunch of people breathlessly run around and make lots of noises and the lights go off and on. You know, just like any Saturday night at Ebbets' house.
Like it.
In his weird Monopoly room.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Nothing weird about that.
Let's go do it up against the railroad.
Dunaway, what do you got?
Clue, like walking into a creepy mansion with dog poo in your shoes. It just stinks. I'm just kidding. I liked it. And to make a long story short, motherfucker, it's too late.
I even got the wrong line.
I'm sorry. I should have. Like,
Randy has an excuse. He's got alcohol slowing him down.
It was obvious he was going to do that. He told us at the beginning of the show.
He totally broadcast it. We missed it.
I'm sorry, Brian.
That's all right.
Lost our last chance. Gone. Burned. And then finally, Brian Ibbett.
Clue. Fantastic cast. Cool concept. Clever gimmick. But this murder mystery completely fails in execution.
Whoa. Execution.
Execution. I get it.
They're going to kill us.
I do like the literal tools of the trade, like the actual weapons being in the, you know, from the game. That was great.
It was kind of a kludgy way of explaining, you know, I gave them all to you as gifts. Why?
Man, why would he give the gifts? I didn't understand either. I'm like, why would he bring the gifts? I didn't get that. Mr. Body, but.
just cause. All right. What else? So here's what I learned while you played a board game. I learned just how long you can extend a dog poo joke in your show, in your movie.
Right. I did like that. I mean, it was like every time somebody would come in, it was like, oh, they're trying to sniff the dog poo.
It was impressive. People spend a lot of time in this film looking at each other's bum.
That happened. Oh, yeah.
And breast. Mm-hmm.
And boobs. Yeah. And then finally, you know you're in trouble when the only other, or see, when the only person more attractive than Christopher Lloyd is the maid. And that's what I learned. I wrote that long before we've had this conversation.
Obviously. Oh, I love it.
Let's do a quick email from Zach, who wrote in and said the following thing about Hellraiser, which is a film we just did. By the way, I hope everyone had a safe and fun Halloween.
And didn't involve anything with people with needles in their face.
Yeah, or the, you know, no razor blades in your Snickers and things.
Right.
Right.
Dear fellas, I just listened to the latest episode, although I did not watch the movie. The description of Hellraiser reminded me of...
All right.
Inuyasha, the manga and anime story. In Inuyasha, a demon is jealous of the pretty girl in the story and has a body made up of other demons whom he allowed to eat his human body. Thank you. I don't know of any real connections, but they're both weird stories and not entirely different. But the real reason I wrote was to pester you about doing an animated film. I've listened to all your episodes and you used to mention it once in a while. Now you don't, Zach.
I don't know of any other connections, but I just wanted to bring up the movie Angels in the Outfield.
I love it. I think it's fantastic. So that just goes to show you, write into Scott. He'll read anything.
Yeah,
that's right.
I got in my car this morning. I had lunch later. Then I saw something on TV. Anyway, when are you guys going to do this movie? Yeah, that's kind of what
that is a good question, though. When are we going to do an animated?
So we talked about doing... heavy metal at some point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, heavy metal is a good choice
with some John Candy in it.
It's really hard to critique an animated film because usually most are made over a 4-year period and their attention to detail is really high. So the camp is usually, it's really hard.
Yeah, it's usually kind of hard. I feel like that one's good because it's weird and it's
sci-fi.
Like it fits. I wouldn't ever recommend streaming. Yeah, we're not going to go watch like. I don't know, Little Secret. Mermaid.
That would be perfect.
There are some possibilities. You know, like a film like Shrek 4 is right in our wheelhouse. A Disney film like The Aristocats.
But we all really like each other. Like you guys are my friends, and I don't want to make you watch Shrek 4. I don't think that's fair.
Galaxy of Terror, you jerk.
Well, nah, that's
what
true.
Are you talking this about?
Would be a great choice.
Which one?
Ralph Bakshi's Wizards. Ralph Bakshi did this sci-fi movie, the weird original Lord of the Rings thing.
Yeah. We should.
The Hobbit, original Hobbit thing?
Original Hobbit, Cool World. I guess that's a mix of.
We've talked about doing Cool World before or Roger Rabbit or something like that.
Yeah. Right. Aeon Flux. Again, the one we'd watch would be
the movie.
Live action.
The one with my mom in it, yeah.
Right.
But there's just too many pitfalls. Like I think Scott, was it you that you watched that that one anime that Obsidian kept going on and on about?
Appleseed?
No.
Oh, Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah.
Yes, and that's a really good movie.
Do you know what's a fantastic movie? Rover Dangerfield.
What the hell is that?
You remember that? With Rodney Dangerfield?
As animated dog, yeah.
As a right. Wait, that was a film?
Yeah, it was a film. It was a fantastic film.
Like
I loved
theatrical
it.
Thing?
Yeah, yeah. I got like a plushie and everything.
Yeah, I get no Alpo. Yeah,
it's actually pretty interesting.
That sounds terrible. That sounds really
That's
bad.
What's good about it.
Okay.
There's a 2007 animated movie called Race. To stave off war, the powers that be create the Star Car 5000 race, a race designed to allow enemies to take out their aggressions on the track. Sounds so it's like basically
Death Race 2000. Yeah.
Right. Race 2000.
I would watch that, sure. Also, can I just put a bit in that I would just like to see more Jason Statham movies for
like Crank? Show up?
Yeah. No, well, Crank 1, maybe. Crank 2, no way.
I'm still trying to think of the name of an anime film. It was like the name of it was one word, and it was like the name of a spice.
Oh.
It's not Appleseed?
No. It came out about
down South Carolina. You're putting
came out
Appleseed.
About 5 years ago, and a bunch of people who have nothing better to do called it like the greatest anime film of all time, and I went and watched it.
Animation, or
and it seems like Scott ended up watching it.
Oh,
I might have, but
yeah,
I can't.
You're talking about Disney re-released it in the States, right?
Yes.
Oh,
it wasn't a Miyazaki one, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah, the one where they barf up the furniture.
Right.
Oh, okay, yeah, with the big ghost head.
Yeah,
face,
the thing that eats a bed and then pukes it up later.
Right. What's it called?
What's that called?
So close to, it's on the tip of my tongue.
Tarragon.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
Tarragon, I like it.
Tarragon.
That's awesome.
What's that called? The floating castle guy did it.
Now people out.
Spirited Away.
Spirited Away. Is that it?
No, that was more than that. Oh. And it wasn't a Miyazaki
Princess
film.
Princess Mononoke? Oh.
No, it wasn't a Miyazaki
film.
Right. No, what was it called?
No puking furniture then.
Starts with a P. It's got a name like Pastiche or...
Nokio?
Pastille?
Paprika!
Paprika, thank you. Paprika. It's a spice.
I did see Paprika.
Paprika?
Yes, you did. And that's the thing. Like, this is the perfect example. The people who love Paprika think that it is a crime to put it down. So the last thing I would ever want to do, you know?
It's a weird movie, you guys.
But freaking wet, hot summer. We're going to get away with something that people actually...
I'm just imagining for 5 minutes there, listeners going, it's Paprika!
It's a weird movie. And let me tell you one thing about Paprika. Let me tell you one thing about it. Guess what movie we've talked about in the last 2 seconds that has a dirty old man with glasses in it? Guess which movie? This one. Because Paprika is totally all the stereotypes I usually hate about anime, but I really kind of liked it. It's a trip. It's really weird, but
right,
it's
beautiful, like What Dreams May Come. Mm-hmm. But if you get a little step back from What Dreams May Come, you go, yeah, that was a pretty film, but it doesn't actually accomplish anything.
Yeah,
and that's how I felt about Paprika. But what I'm saying is, I like most animated films. You have this really hardcore audience that would be highly offended if you sacked them.
Part of me thinks that the reason I liked it was the theme song, which is this. Check this out. I think it's... Yeah, here it is.
Is that Katy Perry?
No, but it's close. I mean, it's total Japanese pop, J-pop stuff. But it's trippy and cool. Let me skip ahead. Oh, yeah. So it's this weird soundtrack, and it's just catchy as hell, and... I don't know. I don't know if I
so
like that more
we,
than I did the
we
movie.
Need a crappy cult animated film, and I can't think of one.
Heavy Metal
I
is it.
Fritz, I think it's Fritz heavy the metal. Cat's probably not a likely right. choice, is it?
Probably not. That has like animals doing it,
sex
right?
Sex and drugs, and yeah, it is streaming.
Isn't that that's the R. Crumb thing?
It's directed by Ralph Bakshi, actually.
Oh, I thought it was R. Is it based on R. Crumb stuff? Maybe not. Oh, I'm thinking of... no, that is Fritz the Cat. I don't know. I like R. Crumb. The guy was a freak. I don't care, but I just, for whatever reason, Heavy Metal feels like the fit.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
It's got
the
music.
It's got everything.
Yeah.
It's got Devo music. It's got...
It's got John Candy.
Ted Nugent.
Yeah.
It's got John Candy.
It's got nudity.
Sadly, not streaming.
Oh.
I wonder if it's on when it's streaming on one of the other ones. I mean, we could... In theory, we could
break.
Or somebody could, you know, we could get it. I'm sure we could pick it up cheap.
Yeah, we'd probably find it somewhere. I don't know. We'll figure it out. But Zach, to answer your question that has nothing to do with the rest of your email, yes, we'd like to do an animated film. And we'll figure it out. Whether it's anime or not, whether it's, you know, old or not, I don't know. We'll figure it out. But we're probably not going to do something like, you know, Wally or freaking. Which, by the way, still the other day,
Six Low Flowers.
I watched Wally with the kids the other day, just on a fluke. I don't know why we were even doing it, but we watched it after doing a bunch of stuff. And I'd forgotten how much I really still think this. I think the first 20 to 30 minutes of that movie is some of my favorite thing in the world.
Oh, it's so emotional. Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love there's no words. It's just visual and it's emotes and it's just so freaking good. And it and it also just tickles my post-apocalyptic bone a little bit. Just a little, you know?
Right.
Ah, that's so good. And that is not just people hear me say it and they think I don't like the rest. I think the whole movie's great. Mm-hmm. I just think that stuff is special. Special moment in animation. That whole, and all my like crappy friends, they all say the same thing.
Oh,
that was the one with the robot. Friends? That was the robot one. That was so boring. I was so bored through that whole thing. I don't understand, especially the first part. I'm like, you are insane. Like, go watch, I don't know, go watch Barbie's BiglandPlayhouse.com or something. Because this was so good.
Scott, why would you keep any crappy friends when you have us?
I know. I only need three.
No. So Heavy Metal 2000, which features Michael Ironside and Billy Idol, is streaming for free on Crackle.
Oh, perfect. I love Crackle.
Wait, there was a new one?
In 2000.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
We could do Spirits Within. Forgot about that.
Oh, Spirits Within.
It's bad, but that has never stopped us before. good news, everyone. Next week, Film Sacks episode will cover one of my, and I mean this genuinely, I'm not making this up, one of my favorite action movies of all time, Face Off.
Oh,
John Woo's Face Off.
Face Off.
Oh, I can't watch
it. I know. Brian thinks it's Minority Report 2 is what he thinks it is.
And rightfully so.
Oh, come on now. It's. I mean, as much as I love Hard Target, and I still do, even though we sacked it and gave it a hard time, I really love John Woo American movies. I think they're great. I like his Chinese stuff as well. But I think this is one of his best. And I don't think they've matched since. I don't think he's done anything as good since this movie. I didn't think Broken Arrow or anything after that was any good compared to this. So I'm stoked about it. I want to see it. I can't freaking wait. It's been too long. I own this on DVD somewhere.
So help me, if somebody switches faces in this movie, I'm going to kill you.
Oh, shoot. Brian, we'll have to talk off air.
Yeah.
There's a little something you don't know. We'll have to tell you. Fill you in on. Yeah, it's coming up. Watch for that. Nick Cassavetes, usually known as a filmmaker himself, is in this movie. I watch one of his arterial veins spurt blood in the middle of the movie. There's so much to like. Oh, it's coming up. So watch for that. Who's the lady interest in this? I forget. She's hot.
Susan Sarandon.
No. I don't remember. We'll get to that next week. But it's a Face Off. So stay tuned for that coming up next week. Very exciting times. It's going to do it for us. If you'd like to visit the website, you sure should. Filmsack.com. All the archives are there. Links to our forums and stuff are there as well. Great community going on there. So go check it out, filmsack.com. You can email us at filmsack@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @filmsack. And leave us a review on iTunes, because we sure love reading those. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Brian, and for Randy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you next time.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday, Randy.
Aw. Ding
dong. Long story short.
Ding dong.
Ding dong. All right,
too long. Wait.
Now I have to go finish.
Husbands should be like Kleenex. Soft, strong, and disposable. Communism was just a red herring. Frankly, Scarlet, I don't give a damn. You see, like the Mounties, we always get our man.
Is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.